Well, thanks, Todd. We are out here at the farm show, and it's starting to pick up a little bit out here, and the weather's a little tough, but not too bad. We're from South Dakota. Joining me is Doug Nome, who's the vice president of the South Dakota Corn Growers. And Doug, good morning. I heard you just got back from Washington, huh?
Yeah, good morning, Chuck. I'm on the national, for national corn, we have some different action teams, and I'm participating in the, called the risk management action team. We deal with the farm bill, and we deal with the tax bill and things like that. So we just were in D.C. for 3 days, went up on the hill, talked to people about our priorities for the farm bill, and found out a few things that were going on there and a few things that we are going to try to defend.
Well, let's talk about that farm bill, because I know that it's been going. It isn't going to be for another year, we hope. It will be at least with that, but it sometimes it gets drawn out. What are some of the things that I know there's some changes in the taxes and all the other stuff? Let's talk about what's happening out there. Might as well start at the top.
Yeah, well, you know, there's 13 titles in the farm bill, and I'm not going to talk about all of them. I'm going to talk about Title One is the ARC and PLC program. And, you know, right now with the ARC program, with the That's a revenue-based program, so that's designed to, as prices fall, then supposed to help cushion that fall a little bit, per se. But if your yields, you get your yields times your price, gives you your revenue base, and if your revenue base falls below that, then you get paid. Well, we've had, in this area for the most part, we've had good enough yields where, you know, some counties, it's a county-based program, too. Some counties get paid and some counties don't. So our goal is to maybe try to even that out a little bit so there's not so much discrepancies across county lines. There's not a lot of money to do anything. The dairy program and the cotton guys are out there screaming. Their industries are not doing very well, and so they want some money, too. So, you know, with the baselines the way they are, that there's not enough money to try to improve these programs that much.
Well, you know, the dairy, we talk about dairy. Boy, that's been a commodity that just hasn't come up. It's been down. It came up 1 year, but, boy, in the last 10, it's just been really tough.
Yeah, I don't know much about the dairy program, just what I hear and stuff. But other big things that we talk, our big to-do out there is crop insurance. Crop insurance already took one little hit, kind of under the radar. We usually have a 10% buy-up on prevent plant in our basically North and South Dakota. They took away, so you can only have a 5% buy-up for prevent plant. So that's like a $500 million savings, they figure, for crop insurance. And all they did that they didn't ask anybody. It's not written in statute. The RMA just did it. And they can do the same thing with harvest price options and some other things in crop insurance. So we're up there trying to defend them, show them how crop insurance really targets actual losses instead of ad hoc disasters that go to people that everybody and some people that need it and some people don't. So we're trying to show the good things for crop insurance, and hopefully we can keep defending that, because that's the only safety net that we have.
Well, you know, last time we keep talking, the farm bill was written under really good times in farming, and so they didn't cost them much, this last thing, but this new one, I suppose they're looking at all these bills and what's it going to cost the government, even though it's such a small part of it.
Yeah, you're right, Chuck, but everybody's looking for more money, and, you know, talk about subsidies for crop insurance, and there's people that don't understand them that vote on that stuff. And so another important part is to keep the nutrition title tied together there, so both sides of the aisle got something to vote on and keep that together. If you start splitting those apart, farm bill would have a tough time.
Yeah, we've heard that, where somebody said, why do we want to be with the nutrition part of it, farm bill? But there aren't many ag people out there, and we got to use some of that urban for that nutrition.
Yeah, we need to tie those things together. You know, another big thing that's been talked about, Colin Peterson is the ranking member on the House Ag Committee, and he's all about CRP, trying to increase those acres. And we as corn growers, we're not against that. You know, we don't want to. Right now there's 24 million acres in the United States that you can get in the CRP program. The talk is to go to 30 to 32 million acres, but you got to find pay for it for those. You know, that's a big number. You start adding 6-8 million acres to CRP, and at whatever number that is, it becomes a big number. So how do you pay for that? You know, do you take some away from the existing program to pay for the new stuff? Or, you know, there isn't a ton of ideas for that.
You know, I know sportsmen like the increase in the CRP and stuff, but then we get some land that's questionable, not so questionable, but you take it out of production, some of these young people can't find land. And so it's kind of a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yeah, you hear that all the time. You know, my kid's trying to farm and he's competing against somebody else. You know, well, we're not going to rent to you because we can get this much for CRP. But if you look at it and you talk to a lot of people, you hear those make news headline stories. Yeah. But it's not a big deal. It isn't that many acres. It's more of competition among farmers, and you lose more land or have more competition, and people struggle getting land just because of competition between farmers more than that.
But out in Washington, you are hearing that it's pretty going to be pretty tight strings on the budget this year.
You know, it really is. Really, you know, we're just trying to save what we got, what we have already. You know, keeping those numbers. You know, they talk about the baseline all the time, and I'm starting to maybe understand that a little bit, but it's really hard for me to get my arms around how much you can spend and how much you can't. And we need to save here. Can we move it from here to there? You know, do we want to take money from CSP or EQIP to go to CRP? That's another story that's going around. South Dakota is the biggest user of CSP in the nation. It's a big deal for us. So, you know, we want to try to defend that too. So a lot of moving parts.
Well, in agriculture, seems that people don't understand it out there, just how much goes into agriculture. We have food that we don't have to import and stuff. We raise our own food. If we ever have to go to do that, we would be in tough shape.
Yeah, it'd be really hard for us, you know, to where people are concerned about where their food comes, how it is raised, and what's going on there. You know, the tax bill. Take a couple seconds to talk about that. So the new tax bill, everybody's talked about the Section 199 with the co-op deductions and stuff, and you know they're working hard to get that fixed. But the problem is you cannot. So if you write a standalone bill to fix 199, it's got to go through the Senate with 60 votes, and the Democrats are saying, "Listen, this got kind of shoved through really fast," and the Democrats said, you can't go that fast because you're going to make mistakes. Now, you made mistakes, and we're not going to help you fix it. So they're trying to find a vehicle that they can attach that through that must be a must-pass vehicle, so that otherwise they need 60 votes from the Senate. So they want to get that attached to something like the continuing resolution or something like that. So they got to find the vehicle to get that through. But everybody's working, and they understand that that was a mistake, the way that was worded. So want to keep everybody on task to make sure that doesn't get too far down the road. You know, we don't want to get that fixed in December. We'd like to see it soon.
Usually when you get
yeah, that's right. Other thing is 1031 exchanges. People, when you traded machinery, that was really a 1031 exchange. And that's kind of went away. The only 1031 exchanges, and I'm not a CPA, but I'm maybe sticking my foot in my mouth here a little bit, but a 1031 exchange, when you trade a piece of machinery, let's say we had the chairman of our action team was trading combines, okay? It was a $500,000 combine that he was buying. He was getting $250,000 for his old combine. So you have to declare that $250,000 trade as ordinary income. So, and that goes on a different schedule. Now, you want to check, don't take my word for it, but it's a little bit more cumbersome, and it's going to screw things up a little bit more than I think that people expect. So you want to take a look. If you go to trade a piece of machinery, give your CPA a call and get it figured out how you should do that.
Well, Doug, I appreciate you joining. I know it's a lot of stuff going on out there, and I guess we're glad people like you guys are out there. That's one good thing about belonging to a commodity group, Doug, is you get people out there that's kind of supporting that, and that's why it's important to belong to the Corn Growers Association.